Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Thank you, folks, for coming in with us here on Circles of Change. This is our fourth of four wonderful segments with experts from the LifePlanningNetwork.org and their new book, Live Smart After 50, The Expert's Guide to Life Planning for Uncertain Times. We welcome back on the line Mary Radue, who actually kicked off the show, so she gets to wrap it up with us, as well as the founder, actually, of Life Planning Network, Dr. Meg Newhouse. Welcome, Meg.
Thank you, Sarah.
Very good. Let me introduce.
Happy to be here.
It's a pleasure. Let me introduce Mary and Meg again. Mary is a certified professional coach and a philanthropy mentor and vice president of Life Planning Network. She's also founder of the Northern California Network section. She has a master's in social work, is author of The Roadmap to a Meaningful Life, and has her own coaching business, The Pathmaker Coaching in Sebastopol, California. Her passion is transforming truly the uncertainties of career and midlife change into discovery of choices and courageous action. Dr. Meg Newhouse, as I mentioned, was recently recognized as Director Emerita for guiding a true movement in this positive aging space for now over a decade. Meg is the principal of Passion and Purpose Life Crafting, an independent educator, life coach, consultant, author, specializing in vision and value-based life planning for the post-midlife bonus years, as she says, now focused on legacy. Meg has served as Assistant Director of the Harvard Office of Career Services for over a decade and helped thousands of Harvard graduate students and alumni discover their passion and purpose and hone those job-seeking skills. She also wrote the book Outside the Ivory Tower and Cracking the Academia Nut, and authored a monthly column on alternative careers. She does workshops on legacy of the heart, and oh, by the way, is a committed amateur flautist, plays the flute. So again, wonderful to have you ladies both with us. And we wanted to call this segment Living in 3D, meaning living a spiritual legacy for positive aging. Meg, that metaphor of 3D, tell us about that.
It's about the amplified life that you can lead, richer, more vibrant, if you are living from purpose, from a sense of, we call it spirituality, but a sense of something greater than ourselves, and with the perspective or through the lens of living a legacy.
Yeah, living a legacy. So, Mary, living is that legacy, whereas most people say, I'm leaving a legacy.
We're all creating a legacy every day, whether we think about it or not. It's the way that we do things, the actions that we take, the words that we use. And we have a choice. If we're conscious about it, we've got a choice of the kind of legacy that we're going to be remembered for, the kind of memories that we're going to leave behind for those who are here when we're gone, the kinds of actions that we take and the kinds of products that we create, the tangible results that we leave behind. So if we live our lives with purpose and we're conscious about that, we have a much greater chance of leaving a positive legacy.
Yeah, very, very true. Meg, what prompted you to start the Life Planning Network over 10 years ago? Was it a specific event or a convergence of things?
You know what? It was a specific event, but it was kind of a catalyst for something that had already been building.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned that I was at Harvard at the career office, and I was working with graduate students and PhDs who are a little bit older than, you know, the usual clients, and a lot of them were doing kind of transition, mm-hmm. some of them even midlife, and
sure.
So I was already kind of looking at that, and I realized in the early 90s, because of my own age, mm-hmm. that there was a whole group of people coming along who were going to have to do this for, at the time I was thinking retirement. Of course, now I think renaissance or rewirement or all of those positive words. And so what happened was there, Civic Ventures, Mark Friedman's wonderful catalytic think tank organization out in San Francisco, now called Encore, we held in Boston a conference called Coming of Age. This was in 2001. Mm-hmm. I remember it so well, right after 9/11. And we were inspired by Mark Friedman and Civic Ventures, and we were trying to bring a message of positive aging to all the people in decision-making roles in that area.
Sure.
So out of that conference came this notion of, one of the working groups was about life planning, mm-hmm. and I was head of that, and out of that came this desire to meet and see if there were, you know, we could help each other with this. And the first meeting was just a few people, but it grew organically and amazingly from there.
And then, of course, you come to that juncture, Mary, where someone says, you know, it's high time we do a book. So tell me about that experience, Mary. I mean, you're one of the editors of Live Smart After 50. It's one thing to get people to submit, but if you've got a creative, I mean, this is an organic experience that maybe didn't have a defined plan, end date, you name it. So what was it like to marshal it along?
Oh, it was an incredible experience. The seed of it was planted by one of the other speakers today, Carlene McKay, mm-hmm. who's a member in Northern California. And she came to Andrea and I, Andrea Gallagher, our president, and I, and said, you've got the LPN, the Life Planning Network's got to do a book. And she told us her own experience of writing a book, an e-book, and getting over 30,000 downloads.
Wow.
And Carlene gave us the vision of what was possible for us to be able to share the wealth of experience and knowledge that our members of our Life Planning Network have, and reach a broader public through a book. And we started out with an idea to do an ebook, and it grew into being a paperback as well, so that our members across the country would have a tangible tool to be able to use in their own communities to educate the public, as well as having a low-cost ebook that people could purchase and read. And so that idea spread. We sent out the call to our membership, and we had 33 people step forward to donate their time, mm-hmm. their talents, and their energy to create this wonderful resource book.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, I wrapped up the last segment when we were talking about statistics relating to caregiving, that there's 78 million baby boomers out there. And hello, folks, we all need to buy a copy of this book. So so you folks are, and whether you buy a hard copy or ebook, but you need to look at the templates, etc. So it's part of the life planning movement. So Meg, you know, little did you realize what you might have tripped here, right?
That's right.
There you go. You can take. We're going to give you the chance to take the credit for that from that working group and that civics-minded conference. Meg, talk about how this living your legacy fits so nicely in the other areas covered in the book.
Okay. I need to say a little bit, build a little bit on what Mary said. You know, I think it's so important that we understand that our legacy is so much more than what the dictionary mm-hmm. says, a bequest or of property. It's everything we do that lives on. And so the way we can leave positive legacies, and that's what we want to do, obviously, is by being intentional, but also by being our most authentic, and I call it, along with my colleague Donna Crone, who's also an author in this chapter, living from the heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And living from the heart means living authentically, living from our purpose, which ties in with the purpose part, living from a sense of our highest selves, from a sense of generosity and compassion and love, as opposed to from those fear-inspired, more ego instincts of fear and domination and control. So the key to kind of living our legacy, is living in this way from our heart. Now, obviously, this is, I'm not a Pollyanna. I understand that none of us are saints. But to have that, to be aware of, to explore who we are and what our broad purpose is and what gives us joy, what gifts we can use, what is in alignment with our deep values, what our passions are, all of those things help us be in the world and act in the world in a way that will leave positive legacies.
Well, the other thing it does is you can be in alignment, that is, that you really are just automatically going to play to what your strengths are, such that it also brings you ease and grace. Not to mean that you won't be challenged, right, or confronted with obstacles, but you kind of have this higher opportunity to, I don't want to use the word control, but survey the mission.
Yeah, and I think ease and grace is such a nice phrase, because we talk about when you're on purpose, that's the way you feel,
mm-hmm.
and you're in flow, and we have a lot of exercises in the book or questions that help you get in touch with what in your life gives you those feelings and helps you better understand or clarify your purpose.
Mary, the Life Planning Network is coast to coast and shore to shore, so you've got all the mixtures of the various United States cultures and also some inputs from overseas. A lot of the words that Meg just used, I think some people would kind of say, whoa, that sounds a little bit too woo-woo for me. So the challenge I would think that all of you also have enjoyed is how to perhaps make it quadrilingual, shall we say, your book or your precepts, so that it really can resonate with people. Were you challenged in that regard at all?
Yes, we were. We really wanted this book to be one that would speak to the general public, people who don't spend their lives with this material day in and day out, don't breathe it like we do. There's different ways of looking at this material, and this one isn't one specifically that's brought up in the book, but if we look at our purpose as those things that we value, those things that are integral to us, that make us tick, that without them we're not happy, we don't feel fulfilled, we don't feel satisfied. If we think of those as high-level decision-making factors in our lives, for those people who come from the corporate world, thinking strategically, yep. looking at what that mission, when I work with my clients, every client that I work with, we start out by going back through what is important to them. I give yep. them processes, and the same in the book has some toolkits for how to get to what's really important for you, what are your values. And if we put together a mission statement so that those key words are concrete in your mind, so that as you make decisions, it's sort of like you have your compass. You've got your internal compass that can be used for making decisions, whether it's how am I going to deal with this irate person in front of me in the grocery line, or what's the message that I'm going to give to that teenager who's taking care of my animals while I'm gone. You know, am I going to use this as a teaching or a learning opportunity, or how am I going to deal with where I live, and what are those ingredients that are important to me about the community that I create around me, so that when I, in my life today and in my future, I'm going to have the kind of recreation that I want, the creative outlets, the close relationships that I want, as well as the physical needs and comforts that I want. So it's starting from that high level gives you all kinds of opportunities to then make decisions from that centered point.
I would think also, Meg, that also when your boat gets rocked, that you can still go back and keep your eye on that further horizon so you can level out.
Exactly. And I was thinking, too, that, you know, you asked about the languaging. Of course, I'm a little careful with language depending on who I'm working with, but the same is the whole concept of spirituality in the book. That's another anchor point along with purpose and taking the bigger view. And we're pretty careful about how we define it in a
non-religious, non-denominational way, and even saying, you know, if you're uncomfortable with that term at all, find something else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fine. But it is the sense of there's a, something outside of us that helps us, anchor us and guide us and support us when times are rough. And you know, as we get to be midlife and beyond, there are a lot of transitions that are challenging, and you talked about some of them in earlier segments, and just it's a time when we're facing a lot of loss of people, friends, family, and our own abilities, and so I think these anchors of spirituality and purpose and legacy can help us deal with those, bring us through those challenges.
I would agree. If I might also add, though, that some of that loss isn't all necessarily negative, because it could be, I'm finally done with that task, or I'm graduating from, you know, it's sort of that bittersweet time of wrapping up the doctoral thesis and getting the committee to stamp it and being hooded and all that, as I know you were, Meg. And then you walk on the other side of it and say, okay, now what am I doing?
But absolutely.
So it's also this uplifting time of saying, whew, okay, I can be what I want to be. And you know what? I don't know about anybody else, but hey, the idea of being able to get that first parking place because I've got a different sticker on my car, that might serve me really well right now.
Right. Yeah, and this is Mary again, and the book really offers, Live Smart After 50 really offers some great introspective tools for those people who are at that point where they're letting go of some of the old baggage. They're letting go of, you know, their responsibilities for their children may have shifted. They're at a place where they are looking at their careers in a different way. Their relationships have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And the book gives you some introspective tools for you to explore now. What's important now? What do I want to hold on to that is good from all those years and all those experiences and all those relationships? And what are the pieces that I want to set aside? And what haven't I been able to do that I want to do yet in my life?
Sure. I think the other thing is that really what it is you've given a roadmap and a plan that you can hook into. I recall the day that my father decided, after all of us four siblings worked on him privately for like 4 years, to sell the family home, that he finally said, yes, I'm ready to do that, and I probably think I should live closer to my two brothers that live in the greater Chicago area. And of course, the four of us kids were like, all right, we're all coming on this weekend. Let's get the big dumpster and let's go at it. You know, the home of 40 years. And he was like, oh, no. You guys don't know. Don't worry. I'll take care of it. So we then watched for the next 3 years of him sorting through stuff, the giving, tossing, selling. But that was his process, and that was his plan that he needed to go through, that I completely applaud, because the day in which he finally gave the keys to the real estate agent and moved on, he was joyously at that place. So I think that's the other piece of your book and the work here for the Life Planning Network, is it's as much about going through the process as it is getting to the end outcome, isn't it, ladies?
It
definitely
is.
Go ahead, Mary.
I've got a wonderful story that I'd like to share about this in the process. There was a couple that I worked with that the man had taken an early retirement because he had had a heart attack, and he needed to make that shift in his life. And so he had already started his planning process about what he wanted in his, quote, retirement. And his wife was now at a point where she was moving towards the time when she was going to leave 25 years of teaching elementary school. And he met me and decided that it would be a good idea for his wife to get some support. And during the last few years before his wife got to leave her school work, he had decided that they were going to move out of state and he was going to build his dream house. He had spent hours and hours on a CAD program,
sure,
designing his new home, and then they decided to start this planning process and be conscious about what they were going to be doing because of the wife. After the work that we did together, he totally changed his direction of what he wanted.
That's right.
And the two of them together realized that what was most important to them is that they be there to support their two adult daughters and to be present when their one daughter started a family. And they made that choice and they made that decision very joyfully. He redirected his energies around this new home to remodeling the current home that they had and reframing what a new home was going to look like for them.
But I bet his wife would say, but I don't think his spending all that time in the CAD work was for naught, because it gave him something to do while I was still working on getting out of the work world.
Yes,
Meg, you were going to say something as well, this idea of the process.
I honestly can't remember what it was.
Oh, okay.
But I do think process is key, and that going in with an openness might show during the process that you, just like Mary was saying, that you haven't expected, and tying in with the earlier thing about loss, you know, when with every door closed, there's new doors to open. So this kind of openness, understanding that it's an evolution, and you have your compass, but you don't have the expectations of exactly how it's going to look.
Yep, or perfection, because you're right. This is all about being mindful of not just worrying about the exit strategy, like your client, Mary, you know, finally having the retirement party for teaching, but also being in the right frame of mind to work on the entrance side of things.
Right.
Yeah, what a great show. I've really enjoyed the community that everyone's speaking to. The book, again, is Live Smart After 50, and that is thewebsite.com. You can also get the book through thelifeplanningnetwork.org. It's also available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and others. Meg, so now that you've got the book out, and Mary as well, now the speaking engagements, additional radio shows, you know, what do you think is going to play forward here? Do you have a sense yet, Meg?
Well, I think all of us in the Life Planning Network, thanks to Bruce and his committee and all of us actually have a lot of plans for going out, going out into our local communities, having experiences like this, which we're grateful for, using our broad networks, to publicize, the book. I think we're all very excited about what might come out of it. And I hope that we'll have time just for, at the end, I don't know if we're out of time, but we had a few tips.
Please, why don't we go right into those? What are your tips here for us?
All right. Well, I want to give Bruce credit for this acronym, ACHIEVE. It will help us remember. So A, acknowledge that we are the experts for ourselves, so we need to take time regularly to check in with ourselves and notice what's changing. So C, curiosity. I just think I said this. Be curious about how you might answer all the questions that are in this book and that you have for yourself, and play with the possibilities. Heart, we certainly mentioned this. Align with the pull of heart-centered purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Be intentional, I, about goals and choices and taking small measurable steps. Values, always using them along with purpose as your compass, and adjusting your choices and action steps to align with them. And finally, E, evolving. It's evolving, ongoing, and all the way to the end. And it's never too late to start, but it's also important to start now. And Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who was a geriatrician and pioneer in end of life, noted that people on their deathbeds had three universal questions. Have I given and received love? Have I lived my life rather than someone else's? And have I left the world a little better than I found it? And we think we ought to be asking and answering those questions now,
right,
with positive legacies and from the heart.
Absolutely.
From purpose.
No question. Well, ladies, thank you very much again. It's been a real pleasure that Mary Radu and Meg Newhouse have wrapped up our show here on Circles of Change. Again, the book, Live Smart After 50. If you've got your cell phone in front of you, folks, smartphones, pick it up. You're going to want to text DRZARA to 313131. That'll opt you into the mobile network. For every Friday, you'll get our podcast. Plus, you might win a copy of the book here today. Or you can send an email to change@thelarsengroup.com. Or as well, call us toll-free 877-544-2580. Thank you so very much for joining us, ladies, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you, Zara.
Have a great day. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsengroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.